Good morning. So for communion time, I thought I'd share with you some items we've been studying in our small group. We've been working our way through a study of Ephesians. So Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, and scholars believe he wrote this letter from prison in Rome shortly before his death. Death at the hands of the Roman leadership for preaching the Christian message. So Paul's story is pretty fascinating. We first encounter Paul when he was named, or formerly known as Saul, in the book of Acts. He was a persistent persecutor of early Christians, almost all of whom were Jewish. As Saul was traveling to Damascus, we've heard about his road to Damascus experience. He was heading to Damascus to continue this persecution. And it was during this road to Damascus experience where he brought about his conversion to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. So Saul, now renamed by Christ as Paul, came to be known as one of the most, if not the most, influential sources of Christian doctrine. And his letters, the epistles, form a fundamental section of the New Testament. So Paul, this man had a cataclysmic change for good, from persecuting the truth to preaching the truth. He did this when it was really contrary to his interest. Prior to his conversion, he was part of the Jewish leadership of the day, probably a rising star. And he suffered horrible persecution after his conversion, and his life ended in a horrible martyr's death. Tradition says he was beheaded in Rome for his faith. I think there are three good reasons to believe what Paul was telling us through his letters. The man had a cataclysmic change for good. His life afterwards was contrary to his interest before his conversion. And he paid the price of a horrible death. And let's face it, that people don't die for lies. So let's turn to Ephesians, a couple of things we've studied over the last couple of weeks in small group. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Paul writes that, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so no one can boast." And the second, in Ephesians 3, Paul writes of a secret or a mystery that has been revealed through the gospel. And that secret or mystery is revealed in verse 6. Where Paul writes, "The mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." So who are these Gentiles that we speak about? That's you, that's me, that's every other non-Jewish person. We are now heirs to the kingdom. However, the only way to receive this inheritance is through one door, and that door is Jesus Christ. A lot of you, but when I come to church and sit down, I usually take a first cruise of those notes. So I'm going to take something out of that this morning, and we'll talk more about it. I'm not sure where this comes from in the New Testament, but it's by Jesus. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. Consider what Paul has written to us in Ephesians.
process to this. It's part of our beliefs, as part of our learning and our faith. And so we pray that as we give, that the hearts will be ready to give with a cheerful heart. We also pray that these offerings will be used to reach people in this community and around the world. And I pray that you help us to be good stewards of all that you've given to us, both as individuals and as a church, and help us to use this wisely. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare family and heaven, and look for primary presence throughout this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage in Psalms that actually kind of starts the whole thing off. And I just pray that you'll help us to see the clear Christ that's there. And just to realize that we have a choice to make and what life to live. And we choose whether to be righteous or unrighteous, whether to be righteous or wicked. And so I pray that you'll help us as we go through this message, as we go through this passage, to understand what your truth is. Help us, Lord, to be open and receptive to you. Lord, be pointing our fingers at some past and say, well, I hope someone is listening to this one, but instead, the rest of us say, Lord, speak to me today. Speak to my heart. And speak what's true. Help us to understand your mind, to grasp it, and the most important help to be able to apply it. And I pray, Lord, that as I bring a message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside. And in the name of Jesus and Jesus only, for today's name I pray. Amen. So, I was about a couple of years ago, the first few lines of Habakkuk's first part, the word power, the word was trying to do it with our words, right? So, this power, and these are the first few sentences from the final part. 2 hours to finish the word, I'm Because we have to acknowledge this is not an absolute. says there is no name. And then the other one just says, there are no clothes, but I'm interested in him just going with us. And then the other one says, we don't know the truth. Psalm 119, verse 97, it's not in Bolton. It says, no, there are no name. Is my meditation all the day. The person who loves and desires God's word. As he says here, the heart's in the mind of the Lord, and in his mind, he meditates to the person who delights in the mind of the Lord, loves his word. And he's to do with it, and spend time with it. There is a reason for that. What truth happens if we choose to desire it,
Thank you.
us in heaven. God, for me, I stand in your eyes, and I look at the sun in your eye, and I look at the stars in your eye, and for me, I have action in your eye, and you are the child in my own will, to pray for all of our preservativeness. And I don't know if there's this way to know, because then, but God, if I ask me, you pass us in your rock, and the rain fell, and floods came, and the winds blew, and not all things, but I did not fear because of the fear that I will not. And if you refuse this word of God, who does not do them, or like a foolish man, and pass us on sand, and the wind fell, and floods came, and the winds blew, and God did say to us, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When I just read, it's so long. The God of the Lamb will stand. The God of the Lamb will stand ultimately to enjoy a reward. The Lamb will have a wicked, the first will fail. The first will crumble. And what the psalmist, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says that the Lamb will have to perish. When everything seems to be against you, when you feel like I've had enough and I can't go on, remember the God of the Lamb that you have to go. Verse 3 and verse 4, and verse 3, let's read it together, okay? It's like a tree climbing the shores of water, and loves its fruit in its season of the dark, its life does not matter. Thank you.
At the end of our days, and when we stand before your throne, that we were good and faithful servants. Father, we desire nothing more. And Father, if there is other desire there in our hearts, may it perish because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would bring to life new desires to glorify you, that we might tear down old structures that are built on sand, and Father, we might allow your Spirit to guide us as we erect structures which are rooted on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray for this week, for every person that is here, that we would make, as Joshua did, a decision. And we say, this day I will serve the Lord. Me and my house, we are with the Lord, and he is with us. So that when we come to the end, we might hear it said, you are my good and faithful servant. And so, Father, that is our prayer, and I just pray that you would carry us forward in that same attitude as we leave this place. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us constantly throughout this coming week that we're living for you and for no other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Have a great week.